You are listening to Ron Van Dam, a man who sold his soul for fame and fortune and didn't keep the receipt. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
What in the world are you doing here?
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Do you have nothing better to do? Oh, you don't? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It is a convention of people who have nothing better to do. Wow, that's annoying. Well, I'm glad you stopped by anyway. I really am. I have a little gift for you when it's all over. But not right now. How are you? Welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. I am the person to whom they refer to in the title of the damn thing. Make yourself comfortable. This won't hurt all that much. This is like what they tell you at a colonoscopy. Yeah, it'll be a little uncomfortable. That's what they tell you. A little uncomfortable? Oh, sure. If anybody tells you to lie on your side, you know something's about to come. Something's happening. Always question that. I don't even know why I'm doing this. What is the point? Hey, welcome to the program. How are you? Good to be with you. I'll be entertaining you for half an hour. 1 minute longer than that, I think we're both going to question our sanity. Happy holiday to you, whatever. Hope you, whatever you do, I hope you do it. I don't know what to tell you. What the hell do I care? It's a holiday. I don't know. There's nothing much to celebrate anymore, kids, I'll tell you. But, you know, whatever. It's a calendar thing, I guess. Well, anyway, let's get started. Yesterday, I went to a restaurant. And you might say, Ron, seriously, what do I care? Well, I discovered quite a few things through the verbiage of the wait staff. So I went to this very, very nice restaurant, very, very crowded, doing very good business. You would think that a successful restaurant organization would go out of their way to serve you as best they can, and they do. However, there was a sign on the restaurant door welcoming you to the restaurant, but the sign said, "Please excuse our service. We are short-staffed." They're making excuses before I even enter the restaurant. The sign basically is saying to me, "Welcome to the restaurant. This is not going to be pleasant for you." We don't have enough people to do anything here. Good luck. hope you make it out the other end. Oh my God! Don't start with excuses. We're short staffed. No, you're not. You're cheap. And that's what I found out. The waiter, and I say waiter because it was a male. I said to him, hey, you know, Bub, I don't know his name. I didn't call him Bub. I'm just saying that. I said, hey, waiter, I forget his name. He introduced himself when he came up to the table. I found that to be very personal. Hello, my name is Robert. I'll be serving you. Oh, My name is Ron. You'll be feeding me. He didn't find that funny. Robert, short-staffed, huh? And he said, well, that's what they want us to tell you. What does that mean, Robert? Are you bucking the system here? What do you mean that's what they want you to tell us? Oh, Robert. I'm reading through you, Robert. Well, I didn't pursue, but I understood when he said that. They tell everybody they're short-staffed, but they just don't want to hire people because it costs them more money to do that. So you're a busy, successful restaurant. You've got customers, and yet, if you put a sign on the door, that excuses your shitty service. I get it, Robert. I get what's going on here. And that's what I'm finding all across this great country of ours and probably across the world. Put a sign on your door and you're off the hook for shitty service. I should have tried that long ago myself. The sign should say, hey, we just discovered we can still stay in business and not hire a lot of people and save ourselves a lot of money. We'll work our employees down to the bone if they want the job. You got to work your ass off. We're not hiring more people. Why should we do that? Wow. Let me tell you why. Because the next time I go to a restaurant, when I get poor service because you don't have enough of a wait staff, I'm going to go somewhere else because I don't have the time to sit there for 4 hours to have a hamburger. Come on, man. I got a little perturbed because this is becoming the American way. Well, Ron, you have to understand the cost of food is going up, the cost of electricity, the cost to operate. So we got to cut it somewhere. We're going to cut it in the number of employees we have that serve you. Oh, attitude of no good, sir. Yeah, I read through that, and so did the waiter. And you can tell that he was pissed. He was pissed. He's working five times as hard because the restaurant that he works for decides that they'll put the burden on him and just not hire so many people. And when the customers complain, hey, we've been sitting here like for 20 minutes waiting for our fries. What's going on? We're a little short-staffed. Yeah? I don't think so. I don't know. Restaurants are starting to piss me off. Hey, what isn't, right, huh? Anyway, yeah, cost of everything is going up. I have my lawn mowed by a lawn mowing service, a landscaper. And don't get down on my ass. Let me tell you something. I spent every year of my life since I was a fetus mowing the lawn for my father and my mother. It was my job. I was a landscaping service. They had me as a child so they didn't have to hire a landscaper. That's what they did. Should we get someone to mow the lawn? Yeah, let's have a child. Okay. If we have a child, you don't have to mow the lawn anymore. You don't have to take the garbage out. You don't have to run errands. Let's have a child. That would be a worker at no cost to us. That's what happened. So anyway, so I mowed the lawn for every year of my life. And then when I got into my, let's say second half, I decided that I was not going to mow a lawn anymore. Even if I had no money, I was going to still hire somebody to mow my lawn. And I did. So I don't mow no more. I've earned not doing it. So I have a landscaper. Yeah, I know. I know. I know. I know what you're going to say. I know. The landscaper charges me $65 a week to mow my lawn. Okay, fine, whatever. And I started looking at other landscapers. You know, how much you charge me a week to mow my lawn? $80. Oh, okay, $65 is a deal. All right, fine, whatever. Whatever. I don't know, you mowing my lawn with a golden mower? I don't understand. Do I get the golden mower award? Starting last month, I got a little letter from my landscaper saying that because of the fuel costs, they're going to start charging me an extra $2.50 fuel surcharge to mow my lawn. Okay. What? I think I'm overplaying that dramatic pause music. I know I am. Well, I didn't call them back, and I realized that everybody's adding fuel charge to everything, even if there's no fuel involved. Like I went down to Staples because I needed a copy of something that was larger than my printer at home. So I go down to Staples with the document, and I say, I need copies of this on a larger piece of paper. And they said, okay, that'll be $3, and we also have a 20-cent fuel charge. A fuel charge to make a copy on a printer? Well, we had to put gas in our car to come here and work. Fuel charge? Seriously? A fuel charge? So anyway, so now I'm paying an extra $2.50. I know the price is going to go up next year anyway, but I'm paying a fuel charge on everything. God. I mean, what if you employ a prostitute? Hey, how much for sex? That's $80 plus $2.50 for fuel charge. Yeah, because I had to drive. I have to drive here in order to prostitute. It's $2.50 fuel charge. And another $5 charge because you smell. Wow. Everything's got things tacked onto it. So anyway, I'm in the restaurant. And here's the other thing that I don't like. This happens to me all the time. As soon as I put the food in my mouth after the wait staff person, I don't know what you call these people anymore, the wait attendee, Robert, it was Robert, let's say Robert. Robert brings me the food, and then I see Robert like hanging out around the corner if he's not too busy, waiting until I put some of the food in my mouth and then running over. How's everything? Why are you asking me that when there's food in my mouth?
Oh, very good. Very, very good.
Can I get you anything else?
No, just let me know. Can you come over when I don't have food in my mouth?
It's like a dentist. You go to the dentist, they put cotton and all these tubes in your mouth, construction cones, and then once your mouth is all filled up with all these contraptions, the dentist says to you, "Well, so how's everything with you, Ron? Why are you asking me? You know I can't talk." Or no, it's the best time to hold a conversation. I think that's why dentists are dentists, because they can have a conversation with you and you can't talk. It's wonderful. It's wonderful for them. I read somewhere that dentists have the highest suicide rate in the country.
Why? Why?
Is it because you spend all day with your fingers in other people's mouths? Is that the problem? I don't find that to be depressing. I find it to be a wonderful stopgap of conversation. I'm so depressed. Why? I'm a dentist. Oh, okay. I'd be depressed if I were a postal employee. Can you imagine delivering the mail every single day of your life, and the next day, there's more mail. Your job is never finished. It's like a window washer for a skyscraper building. You know what I'm saying? You clean all the windows, and as soon as you finish the last window, the first window's dirty already. It never stops. That would be depressing to me. A dentist? I don't know. I'm not sure about that. I don't understand why their suicide rate is so high. I really don't get it. Anyway, that's not why I'm here. So, yeah, that's so Robert, the wait staff guy at the restaurant, yeah, they wait till your mouth is full so that you can't answer them, and they find that to be humorous. They love that. They love that shit. They go back into the kitchen. Hey, I made this guy talk, and the gravy came out of his mouth. It was so funny, Bob. The other thing they do, and I don't understand the terminology, and it really bothers me. It bothers me. The wait staff, the waiter, the wait attendee. Again, I don't know what you call these people. Server. They're servers.
You shall serve me in the kingdom. You shall serve me, knave. Serve me properly. You shall serve me.
The server comes up to me as I'm enjoying my dinner, so to speak. And I'm just about finished, and he says, oh, okay, I'll clear some of your dishes. I see you're still working on that. I'm still working on that? What the hell does that mean? There's a plate of food in front of me. I'm eating off the plate, but to the server, I'm working on it. What an odd way to phrase that. You could say, I see you're still enjoying your meal. I see you're still eating the food that is remaining on your plate. But I see you're still working on that. I'm not working on it. It is such a chore to go to a restaurant. I have to work. What do you mean? Are you a waiter? No, I'm a customer. I have to work on eating the food. It's so much work. Oh, gosh. My work never ends. My work never ends. I see you're still working on that. Yes, I have construction cones around my plate. I'm working on this. We're trying to figure it out. You put a hamburger in front of me. I'm working on it. We're trying to figure out how to do this here. I think I'm going to put it in my mouth, but I'm working on it. I'm working on it. And the other thing they say, which is somewhat related to, I see you're still working on that. The other thing they say to you, these waitstaff people, servers, when you're finished with your meal, they come over and they see that your plate is clean, which is pretty much the way it's supposed to work. They're not supposed to be surprised that you're actually eating that food. That's the inference, you know. Oh, all right, look, that guy's actually eating this crap. Can you imagine that? So you finish the plate, you know, eating off the plate, and your plate is clean, which is, again, the target of the entire project here. And the waiter, the wait staff, the server, says, whoa, good job. Good job? This was a job? No, you have the job serving me. I don't have a job. I'm unemployed. Or you did a good job on that hamburger. I didn't do any job on it. I ate it. The chef in the kitchen. That was a job for him to make my hamburger. Or your job was eating the hamburger. That's a job? That's my job? You did a good job with that. Well, thank you very much. Do I get a raise? You know, you did such a good job with that hamburger, eating that hamburger. I'm not going to charge you. You did a great job. Take the day off. I don't understand this terminology. I don't know where it comes from. I have no idea. You did a great job. Oh, I feel now satisfied. Thank you so much, server. You shall serve me for the rest of your life. You are to serve me. You've done a great job, Robert. And as a token of my esteem, I'll be tipping you, oh, let's say, 15%. Is that enough for you, Robert? The other thing they do is they walk around with a pitcher of water. I feel like I'm having lunch at the Mojave Desert here. You know, would you like more water?
Oh, yes, please. Yes. I can't breathe.
Would you like more water? Here's something strange that they do at restaurants. They have a big pitcher, usually a metal pitcher, full of water with ice cubes in it. There's a little spout on the front of the pitcher. That's what the pitcher is made for. It has a little spout for pouring. But in restaurants, they tip the side of the thing over, and the water comes out of the side of the pot, not out of the spout. I don't understand that. I feel like saying to the waiter, excuse me, there's a spout at the front of the pitcher. They put that there so you can pour.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I don't understand that either. There's one cuisine that I cannot eat. And I like it, but I can't eat it because it upsets my stomach. I can't even say the word. And that's Indian food. And when you say Indian these days, you have to clarify whether you're talking about that India thing or whether you're talking about that American Indian thing. They're both called Indians. I'm talking about the New Delhi, India, which, by the way, is a horrible name for a city because New Delhi, to me, means there's a Jew that opened up a delicatessen down the street.
Did you hear about the New Delhi? It's fantastic. The corned beef, it's wonderful. You could die. You could die eating it, literally. They give you a pickle.
I love that in delis when you get a sandwich from a deli. It's always better at a deli. I don't know why. But if they give you a pickle, it's like, oh my God, they gave me a pickle. It's like a free pickle.
I got a free pickle.
How was the sandwich?
I don't know, but I got a free pickle.
Anyway, that's the deli down the street. That's not what we're talking about here. I'm talking about the Indian food from India. I like spicy food sometimes, but it doesn't care for me. And when I go to an Indian restaurant, and I don't know if it's just me, I really don't. I can only talk for myself. But after I eat Indian food, the bathroom becomes visible to me immediately. That stuff doesn't stay in my system. It immediately bypasses all my digestion abilities. It's like there's a one-way pipe from my mouth to my anus, and we're going to bypass, we're bypassing everything else. It's straight through. Maybe we'll wait 10, 15 minutes until we get it straight through, but it's going to go straight through. We're not going to mess around with this stuff. It's like the body is saying, I can't deal with this food. I cannot deal with it. This is just going right out. I mean, we can't do anything with this food here. We're just bypass it. We're going to put it through the fast lane here. This is your HOV of food. It's just shooting right out. We're not going to wait any time. Anytime I go to an Indian restaurant and have Indian food, which I rarely do, I always bring an extra pair of pants with me because accidents can happen. And there's not a damn thing you can do about it. Anal leakage, that's kid stuff. I'm talking about major thrust here. And I don't know what's in that food that causes this to occur. I don't know. I mean, I love the Indian food. It's very, very tasty. I love Indian buffets because I try to figure out what the stuff is. I don't read the little cards that are on top of the little buffet urns, you know, that they put the food into. I know it's all going to have the same result. The only thing that's good, you know, rice is the only buffer they have is the rice. But even the rice has got stuff in it. I don't know what it is. Curry? I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. I mean, everything's curry anyway. It's just different kinds of curry. Indian food is very, very predictable. Very, very predictable. Very predictable. It's true. If you haven't had Indian food in a while and you need to have your memory refreshed, go to an Indian restaurant. Of course, there'll be a sign on the door, we're short-staffed, but go anyway. And and your waiter, Robert, will be asking you, we'll see you on the toilet in the men's room. Robert will be going in there to wash his hands or do something there, and you'll be sitting on the toilet making all kinds of sounds coming out of that little vestibule thing. And you'll hear Robert shout to you while you're sitting on the toilet in agony. Hey, good job. Good job. Now it makes sense. Thank you, Robert. Now I get it. Now I understand what the good job means. All right, fine. All right, whatever. All right, we're coming to the end of the program. I don't have time for a guest today because I just wouldn't stop talking for some reason. But I do find the social aspect of restaurants to be fascinating. Every time I go to a restaurant, it's about the food somewhat, but it's also about the people in the restaurant. I find that fascinating. I listen to conversations at other tables, which just justifies the fact to me that people are freaking weird. Some of the conversations you overhear are just incredibly moronic. But that's part of the fun of eating with other people in public. I don't know. I don't know where that came from. You know, I'm hungry. Do you want to sit down at a table and watch me chew? We can do it together. I can talk. You can see the food churning in my mouth as I'm speaking. Maybe if you're lucky, some of it'll spit out of my mouth onto the table, perhaps on your clothes. Who knows? Let's do it. Sounds like fun. Let's shovel food into our mouths socially. Let's do that. That should be fun. It's attractive. If I were on a first date, that's what I don't understand. You know, that's you want to go out with me? Yeah, fine, whatever. Want to go out to dinner? Not the place that I look my most attractive. Sitting at a table, shoveling food in my mouth while I talk, not the most attractive look that I could put together, I don't think. Why are first dates always at restaurants? It's the last place I would go with somebody. The last place. But that's what we do. That's what we do. First date, dinner date. Don't get it. If there are drinks involved, who cares, right? You know, after a couple of drinks, I don't care. You can put food all over your face. I don't give a crap at this point. I'm inebriated. That's why people go to Mexican restaurants. That's fun food. Aren't a lot of choices. Mexican food is the same stuff, just rolled differently in a flour or corn fajita, shita, pita thing. It's a fun food. But it's the tequila, man. You know? Tequila Mockingbird. Remember that movie? Yeah, they serve tequila. The drinks have tequila in them primarily. And, kind of doesn't matter what the food's like at a point. You're going to be enjoying it nonetheless. Good job. Good job. Good job. I see you finished the food in our restaurant where we're short-staffed. Let me tell you something. Good job. Good job. Good job. Good job. I have yourselves a wonderful day. Until next time, I wish you peace. Hey, thanks for listening to the show today. Good job. Good job.